And welcome to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland. Thanks so much for joining us today. Joining me now on his cell phone is John Strand. He is with the Black Hills Information Security, and he joins us from Deadwood from the Wild West Hacking Festival, which is happening today. John Strand, thanks so much for being on the program today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start with the very beginning. Talk a little bit about the Wild West Hacking Festival.
So what we're trying to do is to bring together the world's best information security professionals to Deadwood, South Dakota for a two-day event. We have amazing presentations from some of the best people in the industry. And we have about 660 attendees all here to learn about the latest attacks, and more importantly, how to defend against those attacks.
So let's start first with learning about the attacks. What kinds of things are you teaching?
So a lot of the attacks are looking at vulnerabilities in IT infrastructures. So you're looking at vulnerabilities in services that are cloud-based services like Google and Amazon, Azure. Or you're also looking at vulnerabilities that can exist on the inside of like a corporate network, for that example. So we're going through these different attacks and finding these vulnerabilities and then sharing it with the rest of the community, and also providing a whole bunch of defenses that the defenders of these networks can better defend their systems. The whole idea is we have very bad actors out on the internet constantly trying to break into organizations, and we need to be aware of what those attacks look like, and we need to be able to defend against those attacks as well.
And how are some of the attacks, how has it changed or evolved over time?
Many, many of the attacks that exist today for organizations gaining, for evil organizations gaining access to sensitive networks really focus on the user. How can we get a user to click a link? How can we get a user to enter their user ID and password? How can we do password spraying to identify user IDs and passwords against outside of the organization from the internet? These are the questions that constantly go through an attacker's mind. And there are so many different approaches for trying to trick users into clicking links, trying to trick users to give user IDs and passwords, and then looking at what can happen after that. And those are many of the attacks that we're seeing today.
Really? It's just sending that email, getting you to click a link, and then suddenly they have access.
Yeah.
So all of those trick emails that organizations send out to test you are beneficial?
Absolutely. Whenever you look at how a human being handles that type of reinforcement, many organizations institute a user awareness program, like something like the SANS Securing the Human or FishMe. There's a bunch of programs that are available to organizations. If you do that once a year, a human being will be attuned to those types of attacks for a very short period of time. If it's done properly, an organization can test their population on a regular basis, and then the users start to become very aware of these attacks. And it also gives you an opportunity to continuously train your users to look for these types of attacks. So it's a fundamental change in the way that we look at cyber threats as a standard user, and doing that continuous testing using things like what we call spear phishing to get people to click on links and potentially enter in sensitive information.
So I click on a link and then I realize I shouldn't have, and I X out of it as quickly as possible. What kind of damage have I allowed to happen?
That really depends on the attack. Sometimes if you just click a link, nothing is going to happen, because many of the attacks will have multiple stages. You'll click a link, and then it'll ask you to do something like run this executable or install this plugin in your browser. It'll ask you to do something. Then there are also vulnerabilities that are incredibly dangerous. We call them zero days many times, where it's an unpatched vulnerability where simply clicking a link can actually take over your entire computer system. So generally what we recommend is if anybody's curious about how to defend themselves against these attacks and what they should do, they should be talking to their local IT department, their local security teams, to identify what the procedures are for the organization that they actually work for. Because some organizations will ask the user to disconnect immediately. Some will ask them to shut down. Other organizations will want the system running so that they can gather forensics evidence to try to further understand what it is the attacker may have gotten access to. But those procedures and those policies change from organization to organization.
And so the type of people who are at your convention this weekend, are they the IT side? Are they the business side? Explain who your audience is.
It is an absolute beautiful mix. We have business people. We have people that are what we call white hat hackers. And that's pretty much what I am. If you think of a hacker, kind of think of the Wizard of Oz. I'm like the wicked witch, or I'm like a witch, but I'm the one that wears the white dress and the tiara and the high heels. I'm a good witch, just like a good hacker. We have a whole bunch of good hackers that are trying to find these vulnerabilities before the bad individuals do. But the coolest thing about this conference is we also have an amazing group of students. And I think everybody in South Dakota would be very proud to know we have a Capture the Flag competition. And right now, we have a bunch of students from Dakota State University that are doing fantastic. So that just made me really proud to see South Dakota representing themselves so well on really an international stage.
And tell me what the Capture the Flag competition is.
Capture the Flag competition has all kinds of really neat little challenges, from challenges like break into this system to challenges like pull down this network data and see if you can find an attack within the network data that's transmitted on the network itself. So it's all of these offensive and defensive challenges to really make an IT security professional stretch and make sure that they have a fundamental, firm understanding of advanced attacks and advanced defenses.
So John Strand, as a white hat hacker, how do you, you obviously have to think about the dark side, right? You have to really put yourself in their perspective. And as a good guy, how do you think like a bad guy?
I'm very, very, very lucky. I get to tell people whenever they ask me what I do for a living and what we do at Black Hills Information Security, I get to rob banks for a living. I get to break into organizations. I get to break into nation states. It's an amazing career. And the beauty of it is I get to do it without going to prison. We get permission. We have contracts to do that. And many of the people that work for me are hardwired, and they're intensely curious individuals. They want to understand how things work. The old definition of a hacker had nothing to do with breaking into systems. A hacker was somebody that understood technology and could make it work. And I kind of subscribe to that old school definition. Huh. I want to know how things work. And the people that work with me, they want to know how things work. And oftentimes that leads to vulnerabilities that our customers need to improve. So really, as somebody listening to the show in high school that is intensely curious about IT, there's a beautiful path available to you to be able to break into things, do exciting things, do it legally, and more importantly, make the world a better place.
So let me ask you this. Are the white hat hackers, are you one step ahead or one step behind the bad guys?
It's a constant race. Huh. I would say many times we're neck and neck. There may be individual techniques where the evil adversaries outpace us. The black hats outpace us for a period of time. But then there's also times where the white hat community identifies vulnerabilities and we kind of beat the bad individuals to the punch. We're able to find a vulnerability, get that vulnerability fixed, and then move on before they do. But it is absolutely a leg race, and it's exhausting, and it's wonderful, and it's challenging.
Because for me, as just a user and not really one who pays much attention to what happens on the back end, this clicking a link thing has been around for a long time. So there's got to be more high-tech stuff going on behind the scenes than me just clicking a link.
Well, understand that when you click a link, there's a myriad of amazing things that can happen after that. And that's really where the tremendous amount of that research is going. When you're clicking a link, there's a number of applications that can be invoked. Like if you click a link within your browser, it can open up Adobe Acrobat for opening a PDF. It can open up Flash. It can open up various HTML5 applications. So it's not just that concept of clicking the link, but it's what happens after that. And it isn't just about, you know, like clicking links. That's the most commonly used way to gain access to organizations. There's also a tremendous amount of research for Internet of Things, different services that are coming online. It is a very, very complicated kind of ocean of amazing technological advances, that we really haven't had an adequate opportunity to test thoroughly. And that's really what we're trying to do, is keep ahead of all of those new technologies and all the new techniques that the adversaries are using to take over those technologies.
Because one thing you forget to do to tighten down the security of your IT is where you're going to be most vulnerable, correct?
Yeah, and that's why it's so important for defenders to understand the offensive capabilities of what attackers can do. It is impossible for anyone to secure their network without truly understanding what the attackers can actually do, because you become blind. It's a constantly moving, we were talking about it being a race earlier, and if you defend your network with what you know today, by the time you get a month out, if that's all you know, the attacks have moved on. And if you don't understand those attacks and those techniques, then you're behind the curve and you have to catch up. So it's this constant balancing game for understanding the attacks and then understanding the corresponding defenses as well.
So what is your prediction of what's coming? What's coming at us?
Right now, the big thing is cloud computing. Huh. I'm willing to bet that most of the listeners that are on the show right now, they have an account with something like Google or Yahoo. And they use services all the time, like Amazon. And you have Internet of Things, where you have devices in your house, like maybe your fridge or maybe your toaster that is connected out to the Internet, or your oven or the thermostats in your house. Our world is getting more and more and more connected. And that complexity is really exploding at an exponential rate. So when you're looking at security and you're looking at what's going to happen, the attacks are going to follow the technology. So as we have more and more interconnected devices, there's going to be more and more attacks on those devices. And as we have more and more services in the cloud, the attacks are going to shift to taking over people's cloud services. For example, if I was going to attack someone, I don't try to get malware on their phone, like their Android or their iPhone, but rather, if I can gain access to their corporate cloud account, where all their pictures and their files and their emails sync, that gets me access to all the data that would be on that device, but now it's in the cloud. So that interconnectedness and that complexity is growing so fast that it's getting harder and harder to defend against it, because many people don't even know their thermostat in their house may be connected to the internet as a whole. And it's hard to defend something you don't even know is there.
Right, but what does somebody have to gain by gaining access of my thermostat?
Oh, it's amazing. If you gain access to
It's so annoying, John. It's so annoying.
It is. And if you actually came out to my house, I live out in the middle of nowhere on Strawberry Hill in the Black Hills, and I barely have internet out there. And it's important for me and my family to be able to disconnect. And I think people are missing that. You don't have to be connected everywhere all the time with all of your things. You know, take some time, think about it, and really ask yourself, do I need my fridge to connect to the internet? Is that something that's been missing from my life? You're right. It is annoying. Sometimes you don't even have a choice. And I think that that's what's difficult, is we don't, many times for these services, we don't have a choice on how the data is shared. We don't have a choice on whether or not the device or the software or the video game works unless it makes a connection out to the internet. So I agree with you. It is an extremely annoying problem. And unfortunately, I don't see any clean solutions for that coming over the horizon.
But if somebody hacks into my thermostat, what do they have to gain by hacking into my cloud?
So this is going to get kind of dark, okay? If somebody has, let's just say, illegal images, those attackers don't necessarily want to keep those illegal images on their computer. They would rather keep that on your computer. They would rather put that on an Internet of Things device, like a thermostat. Also, these thermostats and these Internet of Things can have a tremendous impact to the overall internet. A while back, an organization by the name of Dyn, D-Y-N, was attacked by a whole bunch of these Internet of Things things, like thermostats and Linksys routers and all of these different things that are on the internet and they're vulnerable. And they were able, the attackers, were able to launch an attack called a denial of service attack, where they were able to bring down this Dyn DNS provider. And that Dyn DNS provider was providing services to other companies like Google. And the entire internet went down for large portions of the United States. So if you're looking at this from a nation state attacker perspective, you can actually cripple the entire infrastructure of a country simply by attacking thermostats. So you shouldn't look at it as a target attack per se against you as an individual, but you will be one individual in thousands, hundreds of thousands of additional devices that can be leveraged against us. So it's much larger than that. And like I said, the dark side of that is also attackers maybe will start storing illegal software, illegal images on your systems instead of theirs.
And then what do we do? How do we protect ourselves?
Number one, if you're talking as a home user, know what your connected devices actually are. Take some time and research what are some of the security things that you can do for that device. The single biggest recommendation I can make is when you buy devices and you bring them home and you plug them in, many times they have a default password. And people say, well, it's my fridge. It's in my house. I don't have to worry about the default password for this particular device. You do. Change those default passwords. Change those passwords to something long that an attacker may not be able to guess. Talking like 15 characters, something like that, and make it change that default password and look at what the other settings are for that particular device. Basically, it's just like a lot of things in life. You have to be aware. When you learned how to drive a car and you wanted to understand the risks, your parents or somebody that was teaching you how to drive a car took you out and they said, these are the dangers. Don't go off the road. This is a stop sign. This is a stoplight. And you had to practice and you were made aware of the risks. And unfortunately, with IT devices, we aren't made aware of the risks at all. There's no inherent, you know, threat and vulnerability understanding. But we have to be better educated as individuals what these devices are in your home, what they're capable of. And then, of course, doing simple things like changing the default passwords will go a long way to securing those things.